The interesting thing is that God, everybody that, like a king, search out things, God gives the wisdom to them, whether we're believers or not. But we're going to be kept accountable to it, you know. And I want to encourage you with this morning. God doesn't have this urge to know things. He knows everything. That's why he conceals it. He doesn't want to know things. But he says about us, but the glory of kings is to search our things. And then it says something about us as kings. And in this specific instance, it was about Solomon and the kings. But after Christ, when we did the ministry of the king, and if you want to know what the ministry of the king is, you've got to look at the Old Testament biblical kings that follow Christ. But it says, as the heavens for height and the earth for depth, so the heart of kings is unsearchable. In other words, there's a wisdom that God has deposited with these people. And I want to encourage you with that. Search out his heart. He's got the wisdom, the knowledge of everything with him. God doesn't work on I don't know. God knows. And then the last scripture that I just want to read to you is this. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. It belongs to us. It is the glory of God to conceal it, but it's our glory to search it out. If we search, we're going to find. We are going to find. What an amazing time that we're going to spend together. Next year, as I've said, I really believe God is speaking to us as a church. Next year is going to be a year of being courageous. And what that's going to mean for us, God already knows. Just taking up courage and do what we need to do and say what we need to say. We don't know how it's going to look like, but God's concealing it. That's why we know in part and we prophesy in part. I only know a little bit. Because God conceals it. But isn't it glorious when brothers come together and we reveal it bit by bit as we search out these matters? And this beautiful promise that it belongs to us and our children. This morning as I was praying now, and I just have this vivid picture of somebody that continuously feel that he or she wants to take his or her life. I'm sensed in. I don't know if it's here, I don't know if it's somebody that I am going to see later on today. But I believe God is saying to that person that if you are here, he's got your number, he knows about it. When you put your head on your pillow, he knows those thoughts that go through your mind. And he says you should desist from it. And whether I'm going to meet that person later on today in central London as we're leaving here, if God shows me, I'll give that same word. But if you are here this morning, God says stop, desist, don't do it. Don't give up. Come to him. He's got the wisdom. He's got the knowledge. It's his glory to conceal it, but it's your glory to find it. And even if we just do that with our children, to search for those secret things, that's where the true meaning of life lies in. And the next year, with us, just the unity in the way we're going to do it, the oneness with our minds, with our hands, and with our hearts. I want to encourage you for 2016, 2017. I'm going to say it again. God told Joshua, Joshua, be courageous. If you read Joshua chapter 1, God says it to him 3 times now. God doesn't have a speech impediment. He doesn't stutter. So when he says something 3 times, it's important. But you know, let's pray. Father, you know all things. And we can search out all things. Because you conceal it, it's your glory, but Father, it's even more glorious to search out everything. We only see what the lamp does and what the light does to our feet and to our path. And sometimes the darkness, it seems bigger, but God, you always light it. And so thank you for showing God. Thank you for showing people that's faithfully writing in diaries. Thank you for showing specific ladies and a lady in a brown and pink diary that's writing and saying, God, if there's ever a you, speak to me today. Thank you for men, God, that is just so tired they can't pull anymore, but you're making them strong. They're so tired, but you're strengthening their feeble knees and their hands, and you're saying to them this morning, it's fine to be tired. Thank you for men that's been waiting and waiting and waiting for your promises to come true. And you're reminding them this morning that, look back, some of the promises came true. Thank you for ladies that's writing, and God, I'm just seeing how you're giving a signature on every page, telling them, I see you, I feel you, I know you. You're not alone. God, thank you for those sitting here. Sometimes there's just a heaviness on their chests and they don't know how to get rid of it, this gut-wrenching feeling. But Father, you're saying this morning, your hand of grace is upon them. You're revealing it to them. Gloriously, you're revealing those things that are concealed. Open up, lock everything up with inside of our hearts so that we can see clearly. A generation, Father, that knows how to search out the heart of God that gloriously conceals but gloriously reveals. Thank you for the minds this morning that works over time. Seeing everything intellectually, seeing everything in terms of numbers. Father, thank you that you're calming the minds and that you're telling this morning, I've made the sums already. Thank you for the cross, your son Jesus. In Jesus' name. All that I want to add this morning. If you want to know how Christ revealed everything. If you want to know how God reveals himself. Look at Christ. The most powerful revelation of who he is and what he says and what he has done. I want to give us time now just to reflect on what God has revealed faithfully and what he at this stage is concealed. Just that. I'm just going to give us 5 to 7 minutes for that, and then I want us to pray together and just spend time together as we're going to fellowship together. And I want you to share with somebody, why is this concealed? But we got the answer today. It's in God's glory to conceal it, but it's our glory to search for it. It's the most amazing job ever to search out the things that we don't know. And he'll answer. And with that, I want to send you and just bless you for this week and the year to come. God will even reveal more for our children and forever, that we may do all the words of his Lord. Just take some time and pray, and then Christy, we can just have fellowship together. Okay. vision and make it plain. It's plain enough. Reach nations, generations, through disciple-making, leadership, development, and church planting. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 to 3 says, write the vision, make it plain, on tablets, so he may run who reads it. That's what Scripture says about vision. And I saw your sister on one of those videos yesterday. I went through it. I cried a lot yesterday looking through it. Because this is a godly thing that God has given us. This just didn't fall out of the air. There's so many people on these videos that's not with us anymore. For various reasons. But the vision is plain, it's written. Everybody that wants to run with it can run with it. We don't have to doubt that it is it of God, isn't it of God? It's of God. There comes a time in one's life when you have to sit with me and my wife last year when we were sitting, when we were badly overworked and badly tired. You need the body to heal you. There's a lot of Christians, they don't want to hear about it. You need the body to heal. There's just no way around it. I was sitting there and I was looking at the church, and we were away for 2 weeks and the church didn't miss us. Not in a bad sense. Church went on, people got saved. And when we got back, we received, and then God said, now you allow the people of this house to heal. Because I use people to bring healing. But the vision is plain. For us, it will be through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. It's God given. And then, I just quickly want to run through the purpose to pursue, the power of belief, the people to serve, and the passion for Jesus. Those four. Why purpose to pursue? Exodus chapter 9, 16. God just says, look here, I've put my purpose in your heart. Just remember, God puts His purpose in your heart. Your greatest contention will always be, and my greatest contention will always be, God, I have a purpose and you have a purpose. Which gets preferred? We have to wrestle that through with God. And we do that purpose in church through a declaration and a proclamation. God's purpose for ours. And we help you to get there through the encounters and the Bible school. That's how we allow you to get there. And the foundations. The second one is the power of belief. In other words, power of belief is, do you believe that we belong together spiritually? We knit together as a covenant. It's not cheap relationships. God bought us with His blood. That's why we're all here. He knew in eternity past that you would sit here, I would stand here. He knew it. He even knew, Trev, that you were going to sit like you're sitting now. He knew it in eternity past. He's not surprised by what's happening here. The power of belief. John chapter 11 verse 40 says, we belong. That's how we belong together. And the key is the Holy Spirit. That's why we do have altar calls. That's why we do sing to God. Why? Because we want to show the world that we belong to Him. That's the power of our belief. The key is the Holy Spirit. Our celebration services. Why do we have a church service? We have a church service to show people we belong to God. If we do church services for any other reason, we shouldn't have it. That's why we have Kiddies Church. To tell our kids, it's not for you to go there so that your parents can have a break. No. You go to church because you belong to Him. You're His. He alone can decide what can happen with your life. You have a choice if you want to decide what you want to do. But just remember then, you're walking away from what He wants you to do. That's why we have small groups. We're not a church with small groups. We're a small group church. Whatever we can't settle here around the coffee table, we sit in small group and we talk about it there. We cry together. We laugh together. We get angry there and irritated with each other. But we never run away. We always come back to sit down and talk about it. That's how we do life. That's how I know. That's the only way I know life. And I thank my parents for teaching me it. So by the time I got to Shofar, I just felt, this feels like my home. there's something familiar here. And I can understand if a lot of people didn't have it at home and it was difficult for them. It's difficult for people to come and understand. Do we have? Wow! Do we have to do church? There's this lady, she came from another church. She was one of the first time members. She just said to me, Carlos, I never knew church was meant to be like this. I never knew about the washing of the feet after encounter too. I never knew that people go at such lengths just to show them each other's hearts. I don't know church like this. But Carlos, I like it. Jackie, that's from England. Jackie's like, this is like church for me. She doesn't know anything else. This is church. Our ceremonies, new member ceremonies, baby dedications, marriage, funerals, baptisms, it all says we belong to God. That's the power of our belief. And then people to serve. John 15, verse 17. Love one another. Leadership happens when we commit to serve and grow other people. I'm going to say it again. Leadership happens when we commit to serve and grow others. Do you know how many conferences and stuff is out there where we commit to serve ourselves and our own visions and not others? How the gospel is being perverted and getting everything right so that it can be good for me and how it will suit me and how it would lift me up. But Jesus says, we grow other people. When we commit to serving someone else and growing that person to become great, that's when leadership and love starts. So we do that through Prochorus, Keep Wickeds, Community Keepers, Inspire to Become, Bridging Abilities. We have student ministry, kids ministry, youth ministry, family ministry. That's all there. It's just a commitment to make other people grow. And we should never deviate from that. We lay our lives down for other people to grow. You know how many times I found myself when my children were sick in South Africa, and then you pray, God, please just heal them. And then one day God just said, okay, so you just want them to get healed so that you can go on with your life. It was true. Sometimes we just become so childish, we need the miracle so that we can get a break. But when you read the scriptures, when those parents went to Jesus, Jesus, come heal my daughter, please. There was nothing in it for him. It was really about the miracle of his daughter. Sometimes we just get so selfish. But it's about other people. And then the last one, passion for Jesus. Matthew 28:19. Go and make disciples. A passion for Christ to proclaim the unadulterated gospel. Not the gospel of this age that Paul says. Paul says there's a gospel that's being preached. It's the gospel of this age. It's not the true gospel, but this one. That is what we run and believe in and do. We have a passion for Christ. A raw passion just to show Christ. And show the world this is Jesus, not the Jesus we want to create, not the Jesus I like or what I want. This is Jesus in his raw form. Meet with him. He'll radically change your life forever. When I got into ministry, it was one of those moments for me. In that first week I got saved, God just reminded me that he called me to preach. And after that, he didn't say anything again. Sometimes people want so many words, and they're fasting so long. But the problem is actually just they lack courage. God spoke my son, and he reminded me, and my mom used to tell the story, when my friends came to play with me, I would put sticks into the ground, then they would play with my toys, then I would preach to the sticks. And then he would add, my mom telling me these stories, I stood with the Bible preaching to the sticks, and all my friends. So I was a weirdo. I was a weird guy because I used to play on my own a lot. Oh, it had to change. When I got married, it had to change. It is so true. God loves it to change us. It's got nothing to do with Elm. It's just how we changed me. He wanted me just to share who I am and show her who I am. But in that first week, God showed me that, and in that first year, I just told Elmery, I believe God is telling us that we must serve Heracles and Milani till we die. That was my words. I told her, we were sleeping, and we told her, that's what God's saying to us. In that state, Heracles and Milani were the pastor's couple in Bristol. And I told her, we must tell him that, and my wife said yes. So we went to them, and I went to Heracles, and said, Heracles, I feel God said we must serve you. From there on, onward, every opportunity that came my way, I just said, sorry, I can't. I'm here for a reason. DJ opportunities, Radio Buddha, going around the country. I can still remember a guy holding me in Joburg. They have a massive gig of 15,000 people in this warehouse. They want me to come play. They'll pay for my plane ticket, everything. I said, no, I can't. I mean, I was used to crowds. During these festive season, every Saturday, Friday, you play for between 800 to 2,500 people, depending on how big the venue is, 5,000. So I'm used to crowds. I'm just doing my thing. You know, I said, no, I can't. I don't know where this is, what I need to do. And youth leader, we became youth leaders, pirates, we were all part of it. And God took us on this journey. And then I'll never forget it. Hercules phone as he wants to talk to us. And I think, that's kind of nice. But now, earlier that year, we were playing squash. And if you haven't played squash a lot, you know how you feel the next day, especially your buttocks. You know, it's really painful. So he says he wants to talk to me. He talks to me. He says, wow, God says he must move to Stellenbosch. I said, okay, I will pray for you. But then later on that year, he wanted to see us again, so he jogs from Bible school about 9:30. Carla wasn't born yet. Was she born already? She's sleeping. We're waiting. So he gets there with food, 9:30 in the evening. He wants to talk with us now. And he just asks, look, we're going to go to Stellenbosch and we want to take the church. What do you promise? 2007. So 2004, that year, I became a permanent worker for our government as a teacher. 4 years into it, I resigned. And again, as I'm resigning, Mr. Moses, we want to pay for you for a bursary so that you can do your doctorate. We'll pay everything. And we're going to give you a raise from where you are now, 15,000 rand, I can say it now. We'll give you a raise, 25,000 rand a month. We'll pay for the studies. You know, all I know is I should be here. I can't take this. Are you crazy? What's wrong with you? Are you cuckoos? It doesn't make sense. Do you smoke something? You know how many things I had to hear? People really thought I smoked stuff. What are you on? Went into ministry, and I'm sharing this with you because whatever Christ is going to say to us in these last days, it's not going to be calculated. It just can't be. Friday I was in Guildford, and I really wanted to go to the Academy of Contemporary Music. Go in there, you need to have an appointment and you need to have a pass. So I said, God, I'm going to go in there. I'm not going to be calculated. So I stood there in front of my truck and then a lady came and she just went. So I'm going to walk in. And then students came in with their guitars and stuff. Because I'm praying now at places where we can source musicians. We need a break band. So I'm praying. And I'm just walking with these students. Man, it's a top-class facility. Top-class teachers there. And there was this one boy drumming. I prayed for him. Oh, he's an awesome drummer. He looked at me, and I'm praying, and I'm looking at him. And then I got to this lady, and I told her, can somebody show me around? She didn't ask me for a pass. She didn't ask what I was doing there. She said she would do it. She took me on this tour. And the reason why I share it, I know what God's going to ask of us right now. It's not going to be calculated. It's going to be gut-wrenching. Stuff that is expecting of us to do. And I want to encourage you to be prophetically obedient. She actually didn't want me to leave. I had to stay for some tea because when the students come out now, then I said, no. And I was lovely walking with the student and talking about four earrings here and a chain and one with makeup. Men with makeup, it was cool. Just seeing them and seeing in their eyes, I can see in their eyes they want to talk. They want somebody to talk to. They're looking for role models, they're looking for people. I can see it in their eyes, they want to talk. You ask them questions, what do you do? They're excited. Now I'm a guitar player. I like funk guitaring. This one is amazing. The guy that drummed looked the whole time at me. I was like, sure, that's cool. I could just picture me saying, yeah, we must go for coffee. I have drums at my home. Oh, it's not because we've got this. This is who we are. So Father, we thank you for blessing us with a tremendous vision. So many students from the day of Stellenbosch got saved through this vision. Look where we are today. Today we're here to say thank you. Knit our hearts to what you're doing again. Knit our hearts to where you're going and what you want us to do. Knit our hearts, God, knit our hearts. Knit our hearts to where you're going, where you're walking. Knit our hearts so that we can follow you. And Father, everybody that walked, just make them walk full circle again to you. Let them come around again to you, those who are offended, those who got hurt, those who are alone. Just knock on the doors of their hearts. We plead, God, we plead with you. Let them turn. Jesus' name.